Welcome to Index Ideas from FTSE Russell. I'm Paul Amory, your podcast host. In this podcast, we look into how FTSE Russell indices are built and why. We explore index ideas that can help you address real-world investment challenges. As a reminder to listeners, you can't invest in an index, and so the concepts that we explore in the podcast are not investment advice. Any reference to potential investment strategies is intended for informational and educational purposes only. In this episode of the FTSE Russell Index Ideas podcast, we turn our attention to one of the most famous equity market anomalies, the value effect. In 1934, Benjamin Graham and David Dodd wrote a classic book showing that stocks with lower book values, in other words, value stocks, tend to earn higher returns than the rest of the stock market over time. In 1992, economists Eugene Farmer and Kenneth French published a famous study showing that value is one of the three factors driving stock returns. They later earned a Nobel Prize for that piece of research. However, in the last decade, amidst the boom in technology stocks, value investing has run into trouble. Value stocks have performed poorly, and some investors have even questioned whether the value factor exists at all. So can value investing be saved? To help answer that question, I'm joined by Sergei Lesik, who is Director of Research and Analytics at FTSE Russell. Sergei, welcome to Index Ideas.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Sergei, the value premium is perhaps the best established, best known equity market factor. Why have some people started questioning whether it works?
First of all, it's performance. The performance of the value factor has been rather dismal from about 2015, 2016, up to possibly the COVID crisis. So during that period, we saw a lot of publications doubting the value factor on the one side and trying to fix the value factor on the other side. And there was a lot of discussion in academia and among practitioners if the value factor is still there and if it can be exploited.
And which recent market trends have made value investing so hard?
My view, and it's shared by a number of academics, that the macroeconomic environment in that period from about 2015 to the COVID era was rather special. We saw a dramatic decline in the interest rate globally in the developed world, particularly in the US and Europe, to almost zero. And that created a rather unusual backdrop for the stocks and for the value factor. So I think this is one of the drivers of the rather poor value factor performance during that period.
Why is the way that we measure the value factor also open to question?
The classic definition is using the book value. And at the time Farmer and French published their works, the structure of the stock market and the companies was dramatically different from what we see now. And it specifically relates to the intangibles. They became much more prominent on the balance sheet and the activities of the company in the last couple of decades. So one of the issues some of the academics highlighted with the value is that it doesn't take into account the intangibles, or doesn't take into account properly when you use book value for the value factor definition.
Thank you for explaining that. So how does FTSE Russell do it? How do we calculate the value factor?
We look at it from a different angle. We do recognize that book value can be, if not manipulated, but distorted and give a false impression about value of the company. So we are using other ratios. First of all, we are using not single ratio, but a composite of three, cash flow to price, earnings yield, and sales to price.
Sergei, why does a single value factor portfolio, a pure value factor portfolio, have exposures to other factors? We can call them off-target exposures or unintended exposures.
This is a fantastic question. What we found in our recent research that construction of the value index can be significantly impacted by the methodology of the construction. And in the early days of the factor investing, the approach was rather simplistic. You could do sort and selection by one factor or two factors, you can derive the equity premium and factor premium. Factor investing got very popular, and a simplistic approach was kind of erased by the arbitrage in the market. So the correlation between value factor and other factors creates this phenomenon when simplistic approach to value factor index creation creates this so-called off-target exposures, where instead of pure factor value factor exposure, you get some other effects, negative exposure to quality, for example, or negative exposure to momentum, which create a drag on the performance of your factor portfolio.
Thanks for that, Sergei. But why do those exposures matter?
You can say it's your value factor portfolio is contaminated, and this contamination is large enough to drag performance of your distort performance of your value portfolio, because negative exposure to momentum and negative exposure to quality typically contributes negative performance to the whole portfolio. So if you remove these exposures to quality and momentum, your portfolio performance improves.
And how can the index designer remove off-target or undesired factor exposures from the value portfolio?
This is, first of all, index construction methodology. The simplistic sort and selection methodology is not good enough because it does not allow us to remove off-target factor exposure. So there are two most popular index construction methodologies, multiple tilting, this is our flagship index construction methodology, and optimization. Both of those methodologies are fit for purpose, so you can either target specific exposure to value and specific zero exposures to other factors, using multiple tilt methodology, or you can use an optimizer, another methodology, which can create a portfolio for you at every rebalance, targeting specific value exposure and zero exposure to the other factors.
So which one of those methodologies does FTSE Russell prefer to use?
Historically, we have used multiple tilt methodology, but we have recently developed our own in-house risk model, and we started offering our clients optimization methodology as well.
Thanks for explaining that, Sergei. Which other exposures, for example, country or industry exposures, might the index designer wish to remove from the portfolio?
Again, the historical approach was that the exposures to countries or industry sectors are passing, so they kind of erase each other over time. But we have also discovered that country and specifically industry biases are quite persistent. If you look over the last 20 years, the valuations of, for example, technology and financials were quite sticky. So the biases to the industries are not neutralizing itself over time. So we also discovered that if you neutralize this industry and country exposures, the performance of the value factor index gets even better.
Based on our back tests, Sergei, what impact do these neutralization steps have on the value factor portfolio's risk and return?
The neutralization has a dramatic impact on the performance, and more importantly, not only performance, but also information ratio. Just to give you a couple of numbers to illustrate, if we just take our non-neutralized value index, where we have off-target exposures present in some industry and country bets, the performance relative to the underlying market capitalization index is actually negative, negative 5 basis points. If you neutralize off-target factor exposures, it becomes positive, small 13 basis points per annum, but still positive. And if you neutralize industry and country exposures on top of the off-target factor exposures, it becomes very impressive, 32 basis points per annum over the last 20 years. But what is most dramatic is that our information ratio is becoming very significant, from minus 0.3 if you don't neutralize anything, to very significant 0.43 for the industry, country, and off-target exposures neutralized.
Thanks for explaining that, Sergey. Is there a trade-off here? If we use a more neutralized value index, do we have to compromise on the index's liquidity and capacity?
Obviously, you know, you can't get anything for nothing. So there is a cost, but the cost is not that significant. Of course, what happens is when you neutralize off-target exposures, you neutralize industry and country exposures, you decrease your opportunity set. So you pay what I think is a small price in terms of diversification. For example, your capacity ratio is going up, but not significantly, from 1.19 to 1.26. I don't think it's a significant increase in the capacity ratio and its weighted capacity ratio over the whole universe.
Thanks for explaining that. And finally, where can podcast listeners go to find out more about this subject?
We have a website, FTSE Russell website, where we publish our research, longer pieces and smaller blogs, which are easy to read. And you're welcome to send us any questions if you have any following you reading our research.
Sergey, thank you for taking the time to join FTSE Russell Index Ideas to talk about the value factor.
Thank you very much, Paul.
That's it for this episode of Index Ideas. If you've enjoyed the conversation, then please follow us and give us a rating or review on your podcast app of choice. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can do so via the email address fmt@lseg.com. But for now, from me, Paul Amory, goodbye.